The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Today I would like to talk about a life-changing theophany. More about that in just a second. But I'd like for you to get your Bibles and turn to Luke's Gospel. We're also going to look at a place in 1 Thessalonians. So let me take a sip of water and then I want you to join me with some scripture. Let's say that you're minding your own business. You're at home. You're at work. You're in your garage. You're working on a project. You're wrapping Christmas presents. And suddenly God shows up. And you didn't ask him to do that, but you just were doing your own thing. And God shows up. That's what a theophany is. A theophany is when God shows up. And you see all of those kinds of encounters in Scripture, don't you? Places where regular old folks are doing their thing. They're on the backside of the desert. Maybe they're in the temple serving. And then God shows up. There are several theophanies in Scripture, and we've talked about that before, where God shows up and interacts with humankind. And the responses that humans give to God showing up are as varied as the humans themselves. There's Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Isaiah and Samuel and so many others. Moses is a favorite of mine because there are some things about Moses that I think are similar to me. Maybe not being so obedient right when I should be, or getting frustrated like Moses did so many times. And then there's the place where God asks Moses to go do some things, and Moses argues with God, and finally he agrees. But it takes about three chapters of Scripture. That sounds like me as well. But then you come to Mary. Mary, the mother of God, and that's who we're looking at today on this third Sunday of Advent, the Gaudete Sunday. When you turn to the story of Mary, you hear one of the greatest theophanies that ever was. Before we do that, though, I want to look at this encounter with Mary through the lens of what Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. This is what Paul says. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's so good, I'm going to read it again. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is that even possible? With all the stuff we've been through this year, the Apostle Paul says this, and does God really expect us to rejoice always? Or as another translation puts it, rejoice in all things. Yes, Paul encourages us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing. And that means to pray always. And he adds at the end, as if that weren't enough, that that's God's will for us, that we would give thanks in all things. Even if we're in a pandemic, even if we don't like the government, even if we think masks are dumb, and no matter how we feel about the election, it has to be spiritual hyperbole, right? Give thanks all the time. Rejoice in all circumstances. That can't be what Paul is saying. That can't be what God is asking us to do. Well, let's look at Luke 1 now on this Joy Sunday and find a breathtaking example of someone who shows us how to do those things in one of the most remarkable theophanies of the entire Bible. In Luke 1 and verse 46, we find this paean of praise that just bubbles right out of Mary when she responds to what God has given her, what God has said to her, what God has challenged her with. Luke 1, 46 says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." I love the New Living Translation. It says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised his ancestors. Now, what I'd love for us to do is go back and look at that passage in 1 Thessalonians and examine this response of Mary through those challenging words of Paul to the church. Before we do that, though, I want you to think about Mary just a little bit. Here's a single teenage girl. She was pregnant. And after the angelic visit, she sets out at once for Judea to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's also expecting. Elizabeth is in her sixth month with John the Baptist. And maybe the trip was something of a break, a welcome one from all the judging eyes and gossiping lips in Nazareth. You can imagine she had lost friends and been the subject of countless accusations and rumors and whispers. And how would she respond to the situation she found herself in? Would she descend into depression? Would she look for pity? Would she cry out, "Why is this happening to me?" Look at Luke 1:46 to see her response. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Do you remember what happens after Mary greets Elizabeth? The baby John leaps, Scripture says, in Elizabeth's womb. And then Mary proceeds to tell her all the things that have happened, and she starts singing this phrase, this thing called the Magnificat. My soul magnifies, the Latin says. And Mary shows us how we can rejoice always, even in difficult days. Look at verse 46. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Well, now, magnify is one of those churchy words that we use. Literally, it means to make the Lord larger and of more importance. Well, we can't make God any larger or more important than He already is. But we can declare His greatness, giving testimony of His importance and how we can make Him a larger part of our lives. In Psalm 69, David says this, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And this will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your heart rejoice. Let your heart be revived." So King David is speaking of magnifying the Lord in the context of worship. This is more pleasing to God than sacrifices. Do you want to avoid being caught up in all the junk that the world wants to talk about or wants you to engage in? Then worship God. Worship God. It's just that simple. Make worship a priority in your life. What is the priority in your life? I say that if you make worship the priority of your life, then magnifying Him will become easier and easier and easier, and all the voices that the world would give for us to listen to and all the stuff that the world wants us to engage in would slowly recede, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Magnify the Lord. Make Him great in your life and make Him known to the world. Mary's song of praise reveals a second way we can have joy in the midst of all the junk. Look at verse 47, would you? Mary sings this, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Wait a minute. What's going on with Mary right now? She's single, she's pregnant, she's probably a social outcast, but there's another challenge facing Mary that you may have forgotten about. And when we think about this challenge, I'm even more in awe of her amazing response to the Lord. Revelation 12, 1 through 4 says this, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it." Mary was not only dealing with the weight of the world, she was faced with the onslaught of Satan himself. Because of Jesus, the one she carried, she was also the enemy of the evil one. Our ancient adversary was hers too. And he wanted nothing more than to devour the divine child within her. What was true of that little virgin girl is also true of us. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with murder hornets or elections or electronics not acting the way we want them to, or voting software or politicians or viruses or masks or government mandates. Our battle is not against that. Please hear me. Our battle, according to 1 Peter 5, our battle, our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And Revelation 12, 17 makes that clear. After Satan failed to defeat the Christ child, he wasn't done yet. Revelation 12, 17 says, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Have you ever noticed that verse before? Mary's ancient adversary is ours as well. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know even this? Yes, Mary knew. And what was her response? She rejoiced in God her Savior. How did she overcome it all? Look at verse 47 of Luke 1. It says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Why could Mary rejoice even in this condition and in light of all those who opposed and ridiculed her? How could Mary rejoice always when Satan himself was opposed to her and her offspring? Because despite her humble origins, God had big plans for Mary. The angel Gabriel had announced to her that she would not only have a child, but that this child would inherit the throne of David. And not only would this be a child who was a royal heir, he would also be the Messiah, HaMashiach, the Son of God, and his kingdom would never end. Mary had a calling, and concentrating on her calling and rejoicing in it helped her to overcome the chaos around her. Are you rejoicing in your calling? Or are you spending your time railing against the chaos? Do you know Christians like that? Who right now, in the middle of all these circumstances, from A to Z, from murder hornets to government dictates, do you know Christians who spend their time railing against the circumstances when they ought to be concentrating on their calling? Whether it's political and social unrest, a global pandemic, health scare, family crisis, whatever we face, we can do it with joy when we remember that we've been placed here for such a time as this. With Mary, we can magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. He has looked on our humble estate, and done marvelous things for us. Our Savior has called us to a cause and a calling, and it remains regardless of what swirls around us. Can I get an amen up in here? Paul tells us to rejoice always, and he teaches us to pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5 says so, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Maybe it's easy to get the rejoice bit, but pray without ceasing, is that even possible? I want to show you something in Mary's life that we can learn about this business of praying without ceasing. And here it is. So often when we find the Lord Jesus, particularly in pivotal moments, we also find his mother nearby. I'll show you several scriptural examples. Let me just list them for you. And I want you to put this idea in your head that being close is a kind of communication, and that proximity can be prayer. In Matthew 2:11, the wise men came and they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. When the Magi recognized Jesus as king, Mary was there in close proximity. When Jesus was presented at the temple, that's Luke 2:22 and then 39 through 40, it says that they, his parents, brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When Jesus first went to the temple, Mary was also with him in close proximity. At age 12, when Jewish boys become men, Mary was also there. Luke 2:41 through 45 says that they went up to Jerusalem for the Passover when Jesus was 12. That special age of accountability. Remember, that's the time that he was teaching, and they were amazed at his teaching. Mary was there with him. When Jesus performed his first miracle there at the wedding at Cana, you remember the feast where he turned water into wine? Mary was right there at Jesus' first miracle. And at the crucifixion of Jesus, Mary was there. John 19 says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. When almost everyone else had deserted him, when it looked like the ancient adversary had finally achieved the goal, Mary was there in close proximity. And you may have forgotten this, but Acts 1:12 through 14 tells us that in Jerusalem, when the disciples and the followers of Jesus were waiting for the day of Pentecost, there with them was Mary, the mother of Jesus. After Jesus' ascension, the followers of Jesus gathered, and in the upper room, along with Mary, they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does this have to do with praying always? What can we learn from this? Well, I think that sometimes prayer is not what we say to the Lord, but recognizing his abiding presence and communing with him, being, as it were, in proximity to him. It's just as real for us. Jesus said, I'm with you always, and there's that word again, always. The question is, do you believe it? Do you realize that? That our Lord Jesus Christ is with us always? Mary's praying always meant being with Jesus no matter what. For her and for us, prayer can be resting in the Lord and drawing close to him. The sense of prayer requires us to be aware of God's abiding presence being with us continually. And I think Mary understood that prayer is more than rhetoric, it's more than words. It's an abiding relationship. It's recognizing that we are continually with Christ. Jesus said it even more intimately, that on the day of Pentecost, his disciples and we too would learn that as he is in the Father, he is also in us and we are in him. Do you want to overcome the world? I'm asking you. Would you like to overcome the world? Then pray always. And pray always by recognizing that the Lord is within you. If we are to overcome the world's despair, we must rejoice always. We must pray always. And finally, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. When does Paul tell us to give thanks? He says in all circumstances. Okay, but he doesn't know about pandemics. Well, yes, he did. And we should give thanks even in a pandemic. Should we give thanks during a contentious election? Yes. Should we give thanks in turmoil and unrest? Yes. Should we give thanks when we're sick? Yes. Should we give thanks always? Yes. Why? Because what we see as evil, God can use for good. Listen to the end of Mary's song of praise back in Luke 1, verse 50. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. What's Mary doing there? What is Mary remembering? And how is she giving thanks? Why would God need to be merciful to mankind? Because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Are you a sinner? Yes. Am I? Yes. Then we need God's mercy, since that's the case. And what did God do to show his mercy? God humbled himself. And through the person and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, he became a man. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we, the unrighteous, could be made righteous before God. The King of Kings left his heavenly glory, his heavenly throne, and became poor. And he did that in order to cast down our ancient adversary, the prince of this world, from his temporary throne. The holy creator entered creation. The maker of wheat became the bread of heaven come down to feed the hungry with good things, as Mary reminds us. God remembered his covenant with Abraham that through his offspring the world would be blessed. Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of God, is in and of himself the promise of God fulfilled. And for that, we should give thanks always. When we do, when we give thanks always, then pandemics and politics and pain and problems of every kind, as my friend Dr. Carl Peters says, fade into faith. And we live our lives in true and abiding joy. In order to do that, we have to remember to rejoice always, to pray always, and to give thanks always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this day. I give you thanks for your word. It's marvelous and good. I give you thanks, Heavenly Father, that you have given us in the person of Mary a beautiful example of how to respond to your good word. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will, Lord Jesus Christ, rejoice and give thanks and pray always. Especially on this Sunday of joy, we give you thanks and we offer you our joy for all that you've done for us. As we ask all of these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.